Hi, this is Ginger Metro, and this is the Syrian Year Newsletter, Phase 3, 2018. Welcome to Phase 3 of the Syrian Year, 2018. In this issue, I'll address the self-dream, managing all the overlapping processes, your own process with resources, the world's insanity, handling the craziness, your spiritual work and mission, dreaming a better future, tapping into the common desires of all people, themes of a new world in our future, and introducing a fall message from Galexis. Now, the sound file of this newsletter you are listening to is the option for those of you who want something on the go, and you can listen to it whenever you wish. So I'm glad to be able to speak this for you and share this newsletter with you audially. So let's begin. Your new self-vision. We have progressed beyond the Syrian year that started back in late July 2017 and ended in July-August 2018. And then we have experienced the beginning of this very powerful current Syrian year this past late July 2018. From there, we have integrated the new downloads and awarenesses into us, and so now we're emerging on our own new self's level as we look to finish the current universal year of 2018. So now we are here at phase three. This timing, up until the latter part of January, is a time for a new self vision. You are now preparing for living as a new you in your new life and in your new world. This is the best time of the year to reinvent yourself, to think about who you want to be, who you are now, and what possibilities you wish to explore coming up in the next year. In addition, because of the power of this specific time window, you have a greater opportunity than before, okay, to integrate within yourself the grander self-image of you that you have lifted to. See yourself as the light worker, the creator, the manifester, as a spiritual giant you are, and as a destiny self who is walking your spiritual path to be and do your purpose, mission, and wrap up your lifetimes. Now, this process of developing your new self-vision is assisted by the timing of astrological reflections, i.e. Mercury retrograde, an astrological phenomena that encourages introspection and resulting in deeper awarenesses of yourself and leading to making significant choices for your life and its direction. This retrograde period is from November 16th until December 6th, where there is also a new moon, signifying the beginning of a new cycle. So this could be a very personally productive Mercury retrograde period for you. A grand overview of this pivotal time. I wish to remind you of the importance of this year, 2018. 2017 unleashed an evolutionary powerhouse of upgrades and forward flow, starting in August 2017 with all the eclipses and the astrological phenomena. They reflected the greatness towards which you are heading, and they are provided you with downloads and new energies of reality creation. While you may not have known exactly what was coming or what was landing within you, you did notice if you had any blockages to becoming more. That's because they were revealed very, very quickly. Bang! They were revealed. Okay? Then 2018 itself unfolded its new world magic within you. This year has been revealing so much about who you are and what you're here to do if you've been paying attention to the messages, to the whispers, and the signals sent to you by your spiritual co-creation team. In August 2018, you got yet another initiation into your new self and new world, pulling you up to yet again another new level. This awesome period that launched from there, from August of 2017, has brought you the opportunities of exponential spiritual growth in the launching of your destiny work. It has also grounded you in your personal spiritual path. This amazing and pivotal consciousness time will conclude around the spring equinox of 2019, so we only got a few months left. So whatever you think is important about your life, yourself, your spiritual path, and your future needs to be addressed in your reflections and contemplations during this third phase of the Syrian year. The impact of this year and a few months into 2019 will demonstrate itself more tangibly as 2019 unfolds. In other words, the consensus world with its energies, movements, creations, and developments that have built over the past year will show themselves in manifest form in all areas of life. Secrets will be revealed into the mainstream, and humankind will shift up to another notch of awareness. You'll probably notice it most likely, though, in your personal emotional states and intuitive insights. And then in the world, you'll see it in social, political developments and new technology. And in this third phase, the new self dream that's going on now, I'm continuing to emphasize the importance of getting on your manifestation and dream track of the future. Whatever work you do now, metaphysically speaking, will serve you exceedingly well in the new world that is emerging in your personal physical plane reality starting in 2019 if you make a significant, even if seemingly small, change now. It will bring an exponentially great change in a matter of a few years, if not even months. I've been sharing on how to do exactly that, i.e. by choosing to be, act, and think differently and by imagining and dreaming your future. This manifestation process also includes dreaming the ideal future that will guide you and learning how to stay present, conscious, and in your personal power as you engage with your everyday life stream of routines, activities, and interactions with others. Your self-dream. In the meantime, between now and the next phase that starts in late January, you'll be learning how to apply these in your self-dream. The self-dream is the greater self you're choosing to be by choice as you are recognizing your spiritual and divine beingness. Taking this abstract concept to its practical application, it means that you will be aware of yourself continuously through the day, what you're thinking and feeling. You will allow your reality to give you feedback without taking it personally, as the ego wants you to do, of course. It means that you will be able to identify your negative ego, your immature selves, and those sabotaging beliefs when they speak in your mind talk. Then you can stop the avalanche of limitation that you have dumped on yourself in the past. And you can choose to respond to external and internal triggers that in the past have caused you to automatically knee-jerk react to things. You will stop your need to judge, attack, overanalyze, and do your usual stress responses. You will override those instincts and learned responses from your younger, immature selves by stepping into and claiming your greater self and then choosing what to do and how to do it from that higher vibratory perspective, a more loving, empowered, free, and secure you. Overlapping processes and layers of chaos. While moving through this time and beyond, you will encounter a lot, and I mean a lot of chaos. You see, everything you're doing has a process, a beginning, and an intended end with a discovery and change part in the middle. Every project, every action, every shortened term, and long-range intention, every creation and manifestation, every relationship with another person, and every growth curve involves a process. Nothing in your world is stagnant or static. Everything moves. When you feel stuck, that is you resisting the eternal and ever-present flow, because the flow never stops. Your aim is to engage in your processes willingly so that you and the flow get aligned. Then things unfold and evolve easily, elegantly, and magically. Because when you are in your flow, you are in your zone. So you need to be aware of what's involved in processes so you don't get lost or confused when so many processes are overlapping and going on all at once. First of all, there's choice or decision that kicks off a process. This choice may be automatic or it can be fully conscious on your part. Either way, automatic or unconscious or fully chosen, chaos begins to happen. So if you want more information on this particular aspect, go to greaterselfprocess.com and read the article entitled Crafting the Dream Future. Now the dark chaos begins to dismantle what is the old that you no longer want, as well as all the links of beliefs, actions, and more that are attached to that old state you have chosen to move forward from. This period is marked by a feeling of loss, endings, separations, or a feeling that nothing is happening. It's easy to feel disoriented during this part of the process, as vibrationally you have to let go of the lower stuff in order to step into the new. When you're faced with all this letting go, you need to remember that you are in your power. You're not helpless or hopeless, and you are not wrong. You have not done anything wrong. When letting stuff go, you have to forgive yourself, if you feel it's necessary, of course, and love yourself more. You have to build your self-value up, not your ego. See the article, Building Self-Value, on the GreaterSelfProcess.com site for details on how to do this. And you need to stay in your power rather than lose your sense of purpose and capacity in excessive doubt and insecurity. Read the article, Power Retrieval, on that same site so you don't lose energy at this point. Also, don't rationalize things or try to explain them in a linear or logical way. The learning you want here is to love and value you no matter what is happening in your external life, in your circumstances or conditions. Only then are you healing negative situations and standing up for yourself and your vibration. As you know, when you tap into your higher vibratory level, your greater self, better realities will begin to emerge. More magic will happen. After the letting go process, there is another disorientation where the negative is left and the remaining stuff in your psyche is seeking a new balance. This is the chaos before the change. When you feel this chaos, it's time to take physical action towards the future and reality you wish to have and experience. Here is where a lot of people lose track. All sense of a linear track is gone, so you may feel you're wandering in the darkness and lost. Lazarus calls it the dark wood, where the way is utterly and completely lost. But this is temporary. If you let this freak you out, you'll get more lost and turned around. Now it's more necessary than ever to reinstate your value and love and own and claim your greater self while continuing to intend, imagine, and expect your chosen reality show up. Your self-image as a powerful reality creator needs to be maintained. Even if logically you might not be able to see anything powerful or beneficial going on. Here is where you can benefit by rereading the article, Your New Self Vision, on that GreaterSelfProcess.com site. Reminding yourself of who you are can really help here. Then, as you hold this resonance and take your physical actions towards your goal, the storm begins to clear and things start moving forward. Circumstances begin to change in the direction you want at first, and then you can even get close to the goal, and you can even be reaching out for it. This is the light chaos, the chaos that happens after the change, which is mostly inner but reinforced and expressed by action. But this is the time, just as you're reaching for what it is you think you want to get in form, then you get the test. I've spent at least 2 newsletters on this test, where you think you're moving forward and things are coming together and then they begin to fizzle and then you get challenged with what looks like some old familiar pattern of failure, loss, weakness, or whatever. To make it through the test, you need to hold your resonance again. I mean, the whole manifestation process is about holding up your vibratory frequency that matches what you wish to manifest as a new natural and normal to you. Please go to GreaterSelfProcess.com and read the article entitled, The Test. Besides the article, The Test, you can read The Reality Zone and also Building Momentum so that you can sustain your forward movement of energies into your new level of consciousness and then sustain them there. Here is where you are then living on the vibratory level of that reality you wish to manifest, and thus, like in the law of attraction, all you have to do here is to keep intending, imagining, and expecting, and you will receive that reality. Once you get the new reality, you need to keep your self-image up so that you can continue to contain that new reality naturally. So many of us reach that good place, if we do, and then stop working on ourselves. We pause to relax and hang out in our old familiar places, physically and emotionally. This totally destroys the new momentum and stops it from continuing. Thus, we will get a second test that is harder to overcome than the first one. But there is more you must be and do, and this involves your world. For now, remember, so the key to your personal processes are to keep up your self-image as a divine being having a physical plane lifetime, a spiritual giant who is here to support the great consciousness shift on the planet while wrapping up your own life and death cycle, so you can go home to be one with God, Goddess, all that is. This is the essence of what you're up to. And this is what is being highlighted during this powerful time. World chaos, handling the craziness. You're not only involved in several of your own personal processes at once, you're also involved in the world's processes at the same time. So your personal chaos of change, both before and after, is reflected and magnified by humanity's chaos of change. All the change going on around us now is amplified by the extra level of electromagnetism. Since the 90s, we've been experiencing a buildup of energy forces in the unseen. Perhaps it's a response by Mother Earth to all the environmental destruction and disregard, or perhaps it's the forces of human evolution that have sped up over the past decades, and perhaps it's the rise of technology and the astounding exponential growth of information that hits the media and is dispersed instantly everywhere, a veritable overload, especially through social media. I suspect it's all of these factors and probably more. That explains why it's easy to get backlogged with information, data, feelings, reactions, and more. More and more people are finding it difficult to process what's going on and to stay engaged, even if they want to. This is because the extra electromagnetic forces are intensifiers. Everything, to planning a party, to election campaigns, to daily work schedule, to doing common everyday tasks, is more intense. The weather is more intense, with more disasters. As I write this, there was a murder of 13 people near me in a San Fernando Valley bar a couple of nights ago, and simultaneously, only a mile or two to the west of that tragic site, a huge fire started up that grew so fast that it started threatening thousands of homes. Now, note, that fire was put out early on, but nearby, the Woolsey Fire, which is now famous, has destroyed hundreds of homes and thousands of acres in Malibu, seemingly overnight. You see, that's supporting all of this, and unusually dry highs move down to California so that the humidity is virtually zero. And combine this with the fierce Santa Ana winds with gusts up to 60 miles and more, and you have a huge amount of intensity concentrated in pockets of fires. Santa Ana winds have a reputation for fostering crazy and violent behavior, and perhaps that's partly due to the intensity of the winds. Intensity is the common denominator expression in all of these changes, especially in the chaos of destruction or creation. This is electromagnetism, extremism in action, and this is what is also driving climate change and the evolution of your brain. Everything is moving forward together. Change itself can be more intense in our personal lives, pushing us from activity to activity, hurrying up or finding our finances suddenly in disarray, health crises, family crises, financial crises, and the disorientation coming from our sense of new directions and pathways opening up within our psyches just push us to the limit. Those of us who are more sensitive to the energies can find it rough to stay balanced and stabilized from day to day, especially with all the new stories and changes blasting at us from the news cycle. Creative artists and intuitives are perhaps the most susceptible to this overloading, but anyone who cares about people, animals, and nature, i.e. all the life forms, can be overwhelmed and overloaded right now with all the death and destruction going on. I know several people who simply don't follow the news so they can retreat from the intensity of what's going on. And few people have the support and strength of a great loving community to help them through their tough times. Community and ancient traditions have been mostly lost, at least in the cities and suburbs. Your spiritual work. So how do you handle the processes overlapping all at once? Stay focused. First of all, on your own personal inner process so that you can have a grounding in where you are at. Your centering will help you deal with the sensory overload. Practice staying centered. You may actually need to stop looking at the news for a few days in order to get yourself really connected to your own processes. During these few days, let external events reflect to you what you need to work on, shift, choose about, and integrate into your new self-image. In other words, pay attention to the messages, hints, whispers, and intuitional hints that come to you and from your center, and even better, from the perspective of your greater self. Make your choices and determine their subsequent actions. Then let yourself feel the peace of knowing that you are on your path, that all is going according to your divine plan, and that all will turn out well. Imagine and dream that good things are ahead and that you can receive them into your life and into your world. Now, don't stay there, even though it feels good. You have come to earth not to muse and observe only, but also through your actions to become that homeopathic remedy for the world. In other lifetimes, you came just for your own processes. But in this lifetime, you came to transcend the collective, to transcend the mainstream, transcend the consensus reality, so that you could heal and lift yourself into your divine consciousness, and also so that you could lift the world with you. That is why this may be your last lifetime. But before you fly home, there's a lot of work to do, and you need your wits about you, plus honest and true motivation in order to do it. Your purpose is here now. So re-engage with the world. When you see something distressing on the news or internet that could easily disturb you, outrage you, and sadden you, you have to do something. So what do? You hold a vision of positive change. You envision that more and more people will stand up for themselves, as you will also, and demand positive change. You imagine that more and more people are being awakened and thus conscious and aware of the global process going on that is being reflected in your country. Then imagine that these people, including yourself, rise up en masse and take power back from the oligarchs, big corporations, overbearing government, and the dark masculine leaders. You can also imagine that the people stop feeling powerless and hopelessly angry and mobilize to create new communities and positive, supportive, and empowering networks. You have no idea how this can be done, actually, I know. I have no idea either. There's no linear track with steps and stages from here to there. But where your attention goes, energy goes too. Well, Dr. Joe Dispenza says, where your attention goes, energy flows. So you must put your attention on your chosen future. I recommend seeing a future of peace, safety, and respect for all people. A lot of people spend time being distressed with all the bad stuff going on, and a lot of people also, while feeling disturbed, note the positive things that are happening. But either way, it's easy to stay on your couch or at your computer or phone and not want to take any physical or meditative action about it. You may be afraid of doing something extreme where you are visible, such as marching, demanding change, or being a full-fledged activist, or you may find that being a resistor or activist distasteful. But choosing to hang out safely in your familiar environment is becoming less and less of an option. The extremism you see matches the intensity of these times. So I recommend that you become an extremist yourself for light and love. Martin Luther King, sitting in a Birmingham jail in 1963, was arrested for leading protest marches. He wrote, quote, "Nonviolent direct action seeks to dramatize the issue that it can no longer be ignored. We know through painful experience that freedom is never voluntarily given by the oppressor. It must be demanded by the oppressed." He was being called an extremist at that time, a term that today would probably be called a terrorist. But he had an answer to that. Quote, "I gradually gained a bit of satisfaction from being considered an extremist. Was not Jesus an extremist in love? Love your enemies, bless them that curse you, pray for them that despitefully use you. Was not Abraham Lincoln an extremist? This nation cannot survive half slave and half free. Was not Thomas Jefferson an extremist? We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. So the question is not whether we will be extremists, but what kind of extremists will we be? Will we be extremists for hate, or will we be extremists for love?" End quote. Due to the intensity level of the electromagnetic and evolutionary changes going on now, we have to get comfortable with extreme energies, i.e., the intensity of passion, both positive and negative. We can see this extremist passion in the polarization of our political parties, although some of that is just the expression of the dark or toxic masculine, seeking to fight, win, and dominate. Sadly, the Republican Party has succumbed to the dark masculine leader and his man-code domination control strategies, othering all resistors to their regime. And the Democratic Party centrist and corporate money-receiving leaders essentially are just receiving the benefits of the progressive wing of the party without truly taking the leadership they could and standing up to the right-wing domination and control games. The new story of us. So imagine for a moment, what if we could extremely come together, passionately, intensely, for a new positive narrative, a new story of light and love, a future of prosperity shared far and wide so that people can live their lives the way they want to, surrounded by loving family and community. Maybe you can't dream this, but you don't have to think it feasible, doable, or even practical. Try imagining this golden future without any need to see it as practical. Instead, try sensing the movement, the flow moving towards that beautiful place. Imagine the flow of positive, light-filled evolution moving us all in that beautiful direction, that the negative excesses of our leadership are revealed and the people demand their freedom from that and the freedom to be themselves on a more fair and viable playing field. After all, if we take a look at history, despotic regimes tend to self-destruct. As America heads deeper into fascist and racist territory, many are being called to resist, to reject the dark flow, and insist on honest win-win negotiations for all humans. So there's actually precedent for this evolution in history. Just the founding of America, with its Constitution and especially its Bill of Rights, was a new level of consciousness. Its founders were the landed wealthy, and most of them owned slaves. But they had a dream beyond the times, where the government worked for the people rather than the reverse. So know that a movement of evolution is afoot. If you can tap into this sensing and feel it kinesthetically, i.e. through your body, it then can be your knowing. It will feel almost certain that the divine plan is working for all humanity and for the earth, the solar system, the galaxies, and even the whole universe, despite what unpleasant things are happening now in our lives. We are all moving up, and our political systems will reflect this more whole, new narrative, myth, story. Once you can feel the evolution, feel the flow, and feel the future, you're doing your part. You're doing this not only for you, but for the whole of humanity. You're being a powerful homeopathic remedy now. Of course, you may want to follow up on your vision of the future with repeated envisionings, as well as actions taken to express greater love and consciousness. And as an extremist for love, love, not hate, is our future. And you, as a remedy, will help us get there. Someone's got to do it. So don't expect other people to imagine and dream the positive future for you. And don't focus on all the dark stuff exclusively without seeing the future with the light stuff. As I've emphasized before, this future is a reality where the current problem, conflict, suffering, limitation, whatever, simply doesn't exist as a real option. It's not just a thought-out solution to a problem. Imagine. Now, you may be tempted to dismiss your imagination and sensing of the future as a fantasy, an unrealistic dream, but imagination is the most powerful of all imagination tools because a whole universe came into being through the imagination of God and Goddess, i.e., the divine. They dreamed you up, and you as a divine being yourself are growing up to become the divine yourself, a creator of realities. You're already doing it now in a much smaller way. You and I are learning how to do this, and the more we imagine the futures we desire, the more likely we will get them. When Gandhi was starting out with protests, he was considered ridiculous, living in a fantasy. He was discounted, dismissed, and laughed at. But with time, gathering momentum, and even upon the sacrificial slaughter of many Indians who peacefully resisted, he eventually succeeded. This was not by fighting, by dominating, or controlling, but by a dream. Just like Martin Luther said, "I have a dream." Their dreams took humanity in one area of the world to the next level. You and I are involved in this great movement of love and light, moving to that next level too, into that new world, and your imagination is not to be discounted, dismissed, or laughed at. With the correct attitude and vibratory orientation, you too can make a huge difference. In fact, Gandhi once said, quote, "What you do may seem terribly insignificant, but it is terribly important that you do it anyway," end quote. My dear friends, this is your spiritual work, and the movement now is not only expressed through protest marches and electing new people to government, it's a movement of dreamers. You're networked through light to other dreamers around the world and in your spiritual family on the other side. They're all rooting for you. Galexis calls it the Society of Dreamers. You're a member in a web of love and light with all the others. Together with your help and contribution, that of your dream and your imagination, we can heal the world along with us and bring all of us into the golden age, the new world. Everyone wants a better future. Here in the U.S., people on both the right and the left want essentially the same thing. They want a happy, prosperous future with loved ones, one in which they are free to be themselves and do what gives them joy. The Democrats think the way is through social change. If everybody's educated and even legislated to be kind and share with each other, and society is forced to be inclusive of all people, eventually everyone will come around and agree that this is the way to everybody's happiness. Then there will be peace, order, and safety. The Republicans think the way to get there is by competing, winning, and then dominating everyone with their point of view from the top down. If others are scared into submission, they'll be quiet and kowtow to authority, i.e. the patriarchy. And then they'll be quiet and peace will prevail. If everyone becomes a Christian and follows the codes of behavior for their age, gender, and race according to tradition, then we will all be at peace. These different ways of getting there doesn't mean that there feels different. For both sides, the function of the future is that good feeling of safety, stability, lack of chaos, and prosperity, especially offering a good life opportunity for their children and loved ones. Except for the billionaires and corporate leaders, all of us who have even thought about what freedom means, what the Constitution is about, or what the Bill of Rights does for us, okay? We want a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. None of us really and truly want a government paid for by the people that is really for the giant corporations, even if they're American corporations. Sadly, we've been trained to believe that if the government supports the corporations by giving them tax breaks and other advantages, they'll stay in the U.S., hire more people here, and raise wages. So far, this trickle-down concept doesn't seem to be working. And it never did, even during the Reagan administration, although Republicans are very sure it does. Or maybe they just say this so they can secure votes from working class people. After all, the purpose of a corporation is solely for profit for the stockholders. That's it. And the government doesn't require them to hold any moral compass whatsoever. So they don't. They may do some goodwill work in order to give their image a favorable rating, but even that is intended to further their bottom line. Those corporations are part of the American colonization project of the world. The tentacles of American corporations around the world and the sustaining of the dollar as the international trade unit does make America appear supreme, safe, and untouchable. If America's at the top of the hierarchy of nations, many feel then that we will triumph somehow and we will personally be at the top. We will be safe. The American dream. Well, this is a distortion of the dream, substituting ego, domination, and control for real happiness. Many Democrats are also into the support corporations mindset too, but this approach will have to die if people are going to be really happy and fulfilled in their lives. We need a lot more than money to have good lives, but we are all being thoroughly trained to value money above all else. What's worse, we've been trained to believe that enough money will buy us safety, happiness, and love. Both sides want those big corporations to pay good wages and provide good jobs for people, whether educated highly or not, so that the strong middle class can be established. Unfortunately, the era for this is over. But the idea remains that factory towns can thrive and are good for everyone who lived there. Is at this point a beautiful memory, or is it an idealized past? This local prosperity idea is part of the dream that your local community will prosper and your children will prosper too. Everybody wants that. We all want good incomes and not slavery to the dollar that requires sacrificing years and years of our lives and hard work for someone else. If we aren't overly attached to our ego and therefore want to be better than everyone, we'll be happy with a good income, a nice house, a pleasant life with our loved ones. This is one part of the American dream, and the way people now dream that dream may not really work, but they're dreaming the dream anyway. the real truth, the real dream. But really, the American dream is not about amassing a fortune and living a lifestyle of the rich and famous. It's about being true to who you are, whatever that requires, whether it's about your culture, your faith, your age, or your gender. And it's about being accepted and respected for you. That's why so many who suffer religious persecution have come to America, leaving their beloved country to start over again anew. In the dream, you have the freedom to live freely in your personal and unique pursuit of happiness. So that's the dream. Both right and left are dreaming it, and it's positive regardless of the current circumstances in our lives. So if you have many cohorts who are also dreaming the dream future along with you, you can move in that direction together. If you dream the function, i.e. the context, the feelings, the beliefs, and the foundations, which is love, freedom, empowerment, and safety, trust in the divine plan, then you will be one who holds the higher resonance to manifest the happy realities that come with that. You're the dreamer, and you can channel and orient the dreams of the many towards one of true light and love. The idea of taking down oppressors and freeing the people is not a new idea, but each generation has its own interpretation of it. In the 2016 election in the U.S., taking down oppressors and cleaning up corruption was the theme of the day. Trump claimed he was beholden to no one financially, and thus he was free to rein in Wall Street and drain the swamp. This message caught on, as it seemed to be part of the dream. His slogan, "To make America great again," promised a bright future. Bernie Sanders also talked about the overwhelming power of the billionaires over our lives and promised he would set up a government that supported the people with free education, prosperous economy by taxing the big corporations more, and Medicare for all. This too caught on, and Bernie's crowds were even bigger than Trump's. What's very notable was that his slogan was also about the future, a future to believe in. Hillary's message was the rise of women and minorities to live freely in a diverse nation. But she was still in the pocket of corporations. She actually worked on Monsanto's legal team years ago, and Big Pharma. Yet she had the leverage to snap up the nomination and leave Bernie out cold. But she didn't have a slogan about the future. So in the election, the default champion of the new dream was Trump. His narrative, his myth, was clearer and more exciting than Hillary's and promised more. The darkness under the dream. So do you see how important the idea of the future is to everyone? The narrative of the right-wing Republicans is that they are the good guys. White is associated with good too, wonder why. And they will fight the bad guys, the Democrats, and destroy them, and peace and order will reign. While in the shorter term, this is nasty politics, which makes anyone ever afraid or angry, definitely not happy and fulfilled, the Republicans believe that the ends justify the means and they will get a new order with them on top. And high on the hierarchy, they will have money. They'll be rich. The Democrats want the government to be one that promotes equality and human rights around the world. The government would be the moral top dog in the world, and all would look to the U.S. for humanitarian leadership. But just as the Republicans have harsh means for their end, the Democrats would legislate social behavior rather than having it controlled by religious institutions. In other words, the government would be secular, and in the negotiations with other nations around the world, it would be acceptable to compromise for the sake of peace. Money, not the main object, but it can force moral actions and harmony between nations. Since the 2016 election, Trump and the Republicans have created conflict and competition and fought for supremacy. Their means to their dream is domination. This has only heightened Trump's base in their enthusiastic embrace of this mythical positive future. Meanwhile, the Democrats are mobilizing to fight the Republicans and take back control. They, too, have fallen for the dark masculine. With all this playing out of the dark masculine scenario, the USA has entered the dark chaos. This is the destruction of what was or is to make room for the replacement of what's new. Okay. This particular dark chaos is extremely intense due to the electromagnetic amplifications of the evolutionary shift we're going through. And the electromagnetics are also exacerbating climate change. This is stressful for those who don't want to dismantle the old order or who are not enthused about the new right-wing order, narrative, or mythology. But a lot of stuff has to go. to trigger the awakenings that need to happen in order to bring in the new world. While it may seem that the right-wing agenda of nationalism is destroying the old liberal and global perspective, both are being unraveled, unwound, and taken apart. And as I mentioned before, the dark chaos has to happen before the change, which happens before the light chaos, a later and more empowering step in the transformational process. Despite all the craziness, insanity, and even violence, it's all going according to divine plan, and it will turn out well, provided, and this is a big one, you choose it to be so. It's your choice. The dream change. So how do you suppose this big positive change is going to take place? Well, we may not be able to figure it out since reality is definitely non-linear and unpredictable now, as I stressed before. But when you dream the change, look to creating a future without war, conflict, oppression, violence, and domination. Without all that dark stuff, both masculine and feminine, what's your future going to look like in a society of your own design? The change will come when the left also gets a new narrative. And this narrative or mythology of reality will catch on. Here's your chance to dream up the new story. I've been doing a lot of reading and have come up with a few components of this narrative or storyline. Many commentaries on the state of the change point out how the old hierarchical patriarchal setup will not work if all people are to be happy and free. The old dark masculine had the elite on top of a hierarchy determined by wealth and power, and with the masses struggling at the bottom, powerless and poor. So a light future dream has to have elements of the light masculine and the light feminine, i.e. no hierarchy or patriarchy, but an egalitarian community spirit. Ideas about community. A few suggestions that these brilliant writers gave had common themes. What people really want and how more free societies are organized. Here's what I gleaned. The new social order, or people's government, will be established on the line of the U.S. Bill of Rights. Rather than elitism, there is equality of all people, an egalitarian way of life. All people have value regardless of their level of wealth. Basic principles are agreed to by all of the people. Decision-making is done via a form of consensus in smaller communities that then negotiate consensus with larger organizations of government. No strong man or dark masculine leader is allowed to dominate the conversations, determine the narrative, and pressure everyone else to kowtow to his idea. In the egalitarian society of the Iroquois Federation, from which several ideas were gleaned for our Constitution and Bill of Rights, lineage and inheritance was matrilineal, not patriarchal. The land provided personal property, but there was also a commons, a land owned by everyone. Currently, we have national lands and parks that are supposedly owned by the people, but much of it has been destroyed by corporations for private gain at the expense of the people's quality of air, water, and soil. There are fewer and fewer natural primal wilderness now. In the commons, this land would only be utilized if it truly helped all the people or enabled the prosperity of the area. The theme of a book I've been reading recently, as written on the jacket of the book, The Ecology of Freedom, quote, is straightforward. Environmental, economic, and political devastation are born at the moment that human societies begin to organize themselves hierarchically. The lesson to be learned? Our nightmare will continue until hierarchy is dissolved and human beings develop more sane, sustainable, and egalitarian social structures, end quote. The author, Murray Bookchin, gives suggestions as how to organize people in egalitarian ways to the belonging of all. Small is beautiful. And most ideas about community and working together in an egalitarian way comes down to small-scale networks. Small is good. Small communities, small business, small farms, small cottage industries. With a lot of these, people own their own business, their own work, with employment and income, doing what they enjoy rather than doing whatever a corporate boss wants them to do. They're not split between home life and work life, all blend seamlessly in a flowing, natural way. Value and respect for labor is high, and there's a lot of sharing of resources for those who labor, sharing tools, areas of the commons, and allowing people to work with their hands while being valued and compensated adequately for it. Shared customs, ritual, and ceremony bring people together. In a diverse community with so many points of view, this may take some doing to pull off. However, look at some of the pagan holidays that have been adapted to the dominant religious ones. The Christmas tree and presents light at the darkest time of year, celebrating abundance and sharing. Then you have the Easter bunny and eggs, you know, referring to spring fertility. Halloween is scaring off the spooks before allowing the saints to come in. And Thanksgiving is a coming together of families to give thanks to the harvest and to the love of family. These events mark the seasons and celebrate stages of the year. With a little creativity, I'm sure some brilliant people can come up with fun celebrations that the whole community can get into. I'm sure there are other factors, but these stand out as common themes. So what do you think should be the way we humans live in society with one another in the new world? If you have any visions or ideas to add to this list, please write me at ginger@giniel.com with them. I'd love your feedback on our new dream in the world. Galexis has a message for you, too. In October, I was invited to channel Galexis for a network of spiritual people to whom I belonged, those who have gone to Lazarus seminars with me. As you know by now, Galexis is a group of non-physical beings who come together to speak as one through me. Their message lasted almost an hour and was so thorough about all the energies of this time, what's going on, and what you can do about this, I decided to have it transcribed so I could edit it and share it with you. So I'm sharing with you the edited version with the specific information for the network removed. You will see where I get a lot of my ideas. It was Galexis who identified how to use this power window for reality creating the new world, the one that happened between August 2017 and will end at the equinox of 2019. They discussed resonance, how to utilize the energies personally and globally. I added headings so it would be easier, I hope, for you to read through it. I am so happy to be able to share this with you at this time. And here, and I'm providing in here the link. For you who are listening on audio, I don't have the link for you. I can't tell you what the link is. But you are also got the newsletter, so I just suggest that you scroll down low in the newsletter, and there will be the link. So you can do that at your leisure. Endings and new beginnings. The next and final newsletter will come out in January 2019. The window of the transformation itself, the landing of the new world within you, will have been accomplished. 2019 will see the expression of what has happened here in 2018. The big physical changes, the big manifestations will become evident in 2019. As I said earlier in this newsletter, whatever you will have done towards imagining and dreaming your ideal or dream future by January will exponentially change your life for the better. So be prepared for a lot of chaos, both dark and light. But the light chaos can be beautiful now. By the end of January, you'll see the trends to the future much more clearly. Your own life can rise to its next level of action and fulfillment. So being who you are, the highest that you can aspire to, since who you are is divine, what will you do in 2019? How will you express and share your great work, your purpose, your love? In the January newsletter, I'll share my visits to the future and insights from me and friends on what it looks like without the pain, sadness, violence, and conflict so evident now. So keep on dreaming. With future creation being ever more important now in our world, in January, I hope to share a more coherent, powerful, and loving dream future dream with you. Together, we will be able to move, shift, and create at a higher exponential level. We then will see our world move into being a more loving, free, empowered, and safe space, celebrating the divine within us. We'll see more magic and miracles. We'll see more changes leading us towards the true way. And yes, there will be a lot more chaos before we reach this wonderful future, our promised land. In the meantime, you can read Expanding into Freedom, that article, and also the article Duality. Both are available under the heading articles on thegreaterselfprocess.com. Have a great holiday season filled with light and love, celebration and laughter, and your shining, radiant, greater self of value, empowerment, and purpose. Blessings, Ginger.